It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Black girls in the United States make up 16% of female students, but almost half of all girls with a school-related arrest. These girls are much more likely to receive an out-of-school suspension and to drop out of school. In her book, Push Out, The Criminalization of Black Girls in Schools, author Monique Morris shares her research on the school-to-prison pipeline for black female students. Dr. Morris is also a co-founder of the National Black Women's Justice Institute and former Soros Justice Fellow. She's speaking tonight at the August Wilson Center, joins us now in studio. Monique Morris, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
As you researched your book, what were some of the stats that jumped out at you or caught you by surprise?
Nothing really caught me by surprise because I've been working in this area for quite some time. I think what is alarming and what should be alarming for all of us is the consistency with which African-American girls are overrepresented in discipline conditions. So there are 9 overall categories for discipline that for which data are collected by the U.S. Department of Education, and African-American girls are the only group overrepresented in all of those categories. So we'll see, as you mentioned, that they are 16% of girls in schools, but they're 45% of girls who get at least one out-of-school suspension and 36% of girls who get at least one in-school suspension. They're 42% of girls receiving corporal punishment. And when we start to see the more severe end of punishment, the expulsions, the arrest rates, the referrals to law enforcement, we still see African-American girls overrepresented. So the consistency with which black girls are uniquely impacted by exclusionary discipline is something that I find alarming.
And why do you believe black girls are being treated so differently than their peers? What's going on?
I think a lot of things are at play here. And one of the issues that I interrogate in the book Push Out is exactly that, right? Is what are the pathways that are presenting opportunities for us to, as adults, and when I say us, I mean the adults in their lives, to render them invisible, to subject them to exclusionary discipline, and to cast them as problematic in our public spaces and in our learning spaces. So what we find, what I have found, is that there are deeply rooted historical misunderstandings and misperceptions about black femininity that inform adult decision making when it comes to African American girls.
What would be an example of that?
So we read their behaviors as problematic or as violent and aggressive when they may be exhibiting symptoms of trauma. We disproportionately penalize or punish them for wearing clothes that violate dress codes that are not necessarily uniformly enforced. And so what I do with Push Out and what I talk about in Push Out is I really center the narratives of the affected population. I center the narratives of the girls themselves. And so what you get in this book and in this conversation are these issues interrogated and engaged from the perspective of these girls. And they see that they're being disproportionately impacted by educators who read their questions as affronts to authority. They see that they are punished for wanting to ask questions rather than their questions being perceived as critical thinking. They see that when they're trying to learn in schools, they're being impacted by instruments of surveillance differently, and they are being punished differently for engaging in discussions or altercations rather than being confronted and given the opportunity to engage with nonviolent conflict resolution or mindfulness or other methods that have been proven effective for engaging and working with youth who exhibit problematic behavior.
And is the disconnect coming from the fact that, you know, there may be a number of white teachers who simply are not understanding some of the cultural nuances and are reacting out of a simple misunderstanding of how these young ladies express themselves?
Sometimes. You know, in my work, there are certainly some cultural factors at play and some implicit bias at play. I don't think anyone goes into a school. I say this, I come from a world of doing juvenile justice work and criminal justice work, and I don't think people, for the most part, are entering their workspace to be racist or to be biased in any way. I think that there's a lot of implicit bias that governs our decision making. And so what I have found is that there are situations where there may be teachers who don't come from the communities of the children that they're working with, and they have trouble connecting. But overall, when you talk to children about what they want in a learning space, they want adults who care. And that is the primary issue here, is not necessarily race. It's about the perspective of the adult in their life and whether that adult is prepared to demonstrate love in the classroom and care for the learning of this child. And that's what the young people respond to.
They say that children oftentimes act out because they're afraid, because they're not sure what the boundaries are, what the rules are that are in place. And so they're kind of testing as a way of understanding and also trying to find out where their safe place is within the order of that particular classroom.
I agree with that. And I also agree that safety has to be co-constructed. And that's something that I talk a bit about in Push Out, is how we co-construct this feeling of love and respect, and how we come to develop a learning environment that sustains that. Most often when you have girls who are in trouble or who are exhibiting some problematic student behavior, they're responding to feeling unsafe, and they're responding to a hurt, right? The saying is hurt people, right? Mm. And we get to a space where we've come to a place where, you know, someone recently asked me what is the most radical policy proposal or way to engage around this issue. And my response was, unfortunately, the most radical recommendation that I have is that classrooms lead with love, educators lead with love, schools lead with love. And it feels strange to say that that is a recommendation, except that we've come to a place where we're leading with discipline. We're leading with punishment, and that's problematic.
Right, and you mentioned that many schools have shifted the handling of disciplinary issues from teachers and counselors to law enforcement officials, and that these officers aren't always fully trained on how to deal with adolescents. This is a problem that seems to be coming up in all aspects of society. In terms of dealing with young people, how important is proper training?
Training is critical. Professional development is critical. My organization, the National Black Women's Justice Institute, is in partnership with Georgetown Law's Center on Poverty and Inequality, investigating what training opportunities there are for school resource officers in working with girls of color. Because much of the curriculum and the emphasis of previous training do not intentionally or rigorously engage around this question of what it looks like to be culturally competent and gender responsive in working with schools. What are some of the unique opportunities to engage with girls of color? How are we not responding to the history of trauma that many of these girls have? And how are we exacerbating the pain and harm in their communities by implementing systems and structures of surveillance that reinforce negative ideas about who they are and who we expect them to be? So I think there's an opportunity for us to engage. We're in the middle of that research and engagement now with different jurisdictions, and I hope that we can produce some findings and curriculum and guidelines for future training.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Monique Morris. She is author of the book Push Out, The Criminalization of Black Girls in Schools. She is speaking tonight at the August Wilson Center, and we have time for you to jump in with a comment or question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Monique, you've said authorities often try to police girls' sexuality in ways that marginalize them. Explain that, if you would.
So in the book, I set the context around the sexualization of Black girls really in the context of a historical legacy of slavery that has informed much of our misunderstandings about the feminine expression of Black women and girls. And so when I say that there's a policing of Black sexuality, I mean that there's a distinct way in which the public consciously or subconsciously engages in an understanding about the sexualization of Black girls that is misinformed in many ways. And it plays out in schools in the form of girls being inappropriately sexually harassed and there's no response.
From
administrators, yes, that there's an acceptance. I frame it in the context of, you know, sort of a permission to fail and a permission for there to be this level of exploitation or this level of engagement without discussion about what healthy intimate partnerships look like. There's a way in which there is an enforcement of dress code policies that differently impacts Black girls, where if they show up in a tank top or short shorts, they're more likely to be violated. There's interesting research emerging from Jamelia Blake out of Texas that's really looking at this from a scholarly viewpoint, and I'm looking forward to the findings of that research, because at this point, what we have are the stories and narratives and anecdotes from girls who are feeling disproportionately impacted, but no rigorous discussion from the academy about what this looks like across the country. So I'm really excited about the emerging research, because we haven't yet centered this question in a way that informs our policy response. But one thing that I do say, and where I stand firm, is that we must examine in our codes of conduct and our dress code applications the differential enforcement that negatively impacts African-American girls.
And in your book, you talk about zero tolerance policies. What issues do these practices have when it comes to discipline, especially for Black students?
Yeah, zero tolerance policies have been found to be problematic for most students.
Yes, Black or white.
All students. They remove the discretionary decision making of the administrator to allow for them to consider the circumstance. And it automatically takes kids out of their learning environment rather than work with them using restorative practices, using mindfulness, as I was saying, using other ways to center the students so that they can indeed focus on education, which is the primary goal of schools, right, to teach our kids. Zero tolerance policies, though they've been interrogated, still live in so many different places. And when I tick through the discipline disparities, a lot of that is because the schools have come to a place where nationwide we're relying on these policies, these practices of excluding kids, of marginalizing them or pushing them out of school as a way to deal with some of the conflict in school rather than really addressing the issue at its root. And there's a growing body of research, a growing community of advocates who are challenging our thinking and challenging our perspective around this paradigm of engaging young people. Ultimately, if we believe that there are no throwaway children, we cannot justify the systematic exclusion of children from schools.
We're down to just about 30 seconds, but you are also a contributor to a study called Black Girls Matter, Pushed Out, Overpoliced, and Underprotected. In the study, there are a number of recommendations, including policy review for juvenile justice system and increasing the availability of targeted programs for Black students. What other recommendations do you have that would decrease the number of Black girls being pushed out? We've got about 20 seconds or so.
Okay. The first thing I think we should do is initiate responses to problematic student behavior in ways that include school-based restorative practice. I think it's really important to co-construct with young people what safety looks like in schools. We need to emphasize responsive and what we call de-biased learning that includes the integration of arts, sciences, and culturally competent curriculum. Ultimately, we want to create a learning environment that is less punitive and more responsive to their educational needs as they move forward in their career and college objectives.
My guest has been Monique Morris. Monique Morris is author of Push Out, The Criminalization of Black Girls in Schools, and she is speaking tonight at the August Wilson Center. Monique Morris, thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.